Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Maltins.
Yay!
This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Cataclysmia. It's Thursday, May 14th, 2020, the year we will always remember. And while it has been clearly established that I love movies, I've got three guests today that are some of the people out there that I would argue possibly love them more than I do. It's Mark Ellis, Jesse Maltin, and Leonard Maltin.
Hey! Thank you, Doug. I'm actually on a website where it looks like I can change my last name to Maltin, and it's only going to take about 35 minutes. So if Jesse and Leonard will have me, I can do it by the end of the show.
Cool ass.
Oh, I don't hear
Leonard. I always spotted a brother.
Somebody to help you dye your hair?
Exactly. Well, my husband's getting tired of it, so...
Does he do it, really? Your husband helps you with it?
He does help. He's very useful. He does help. Though now I can't peel him away from the PlayStation, so I don't even know if we're still married.
Jesse, clear you didn't grow up with a brother, because my job is not to dye your hair. It's to put gum in it and then laugh at you.
Ah. Well, that's my mom always loves to talk about that when so my parents wanted me to be a surprise, my gender, I should say, to be a surprise. No, just a baby as a whole. There's like, surprise. And my mom, when I was born and I was a girl, and my mom said, "Are you disappointed?" My dad said, "No, I have no idea what I would do with a boy."
I have no skills. I have no manual skills, like throwing a ball.
You can't be like, "Hey, let's go out and throw a film around."
Well, it wouldn't end well.
But just all the movie watching, I would love that. I mean, that's part of why I'm so into movies, is my parents took me to movies all the time.
Sure.
And let's meet my guests individually so everybody knows who's talking as we move forward. Mark Ellis is here. Hey, Mark.
Doug, always a pleasure.
Nice to kind of see you. What's this about me being on some sort of team on the Schmodown?
Congratulations. I saw the tweet and I couldn't believe it. The show that I've been trying to get you on for years, you've signed on with a faction and it looks like you're on The Usual Suspects. Is that correct? With Sam Levine being your manager?
Yeah, that's what happened. Is Sam Levine was like, hey, you know, you're not going to have to do much. Could you just, you know, could you just agree to be on my team? And I'm like, okay. And then I see all over the internet, draft pick, Doug Benson. You know, like, what? What did I do? What's happening?
Yeah, Doug.
But I'm excited. I'm excited.
Don't fall for it. Don't fall for the nice guy Sam Levine routine. He comes off as this, oh, I'm just a plucky underdog actor. Hey, remember me from all my movies and shows? Once he is your manager, he is a taskmaster. He is specific. It's like Vince Lombardi is coaching a movie trivia team. So be prepared for a lot of mental reps with that guy. But he's going to make you a better player, and I look forward to announcing your first match.
I feel like he's going to keep me on the bench as much as possible. I think I'm just some sort of show pony to him.
Well, you're one of these, because sometimes we shoot a lot of matches in a day, and you're one of these competitors that I would recommend we book earlier in the day than later, because there's some competitors where, left to their own devices throughout their afternoon, maybe they're not as mentally sharp as they would be in a morning time slot. So you're more of a morning trivia competitor, the way I see it.
Oh, you're saying that I should wake, bake, and then do trivia?
No, Doug, I was actually thinking before the baking began, but whatever gets you mentally prepped is fine with
me. Well, you know, I like to think that I am the poster child for the fact that you can be high and remember the most obscure trivia imaginable.
You are that poster child.
I really am, I think.
Hey, Leonard, if you love him so much, why don't you just adopt Doug instead of me?
I'll be honest, he'd be tempted.
That's Jesse Malton, everybody.
That's me.
Not Home Alone.
Yeah, exactly. That was rough. Last year my parents and I got separated on flights, and I got to New York and they didn't. And
we wound up on a connecting flight that didn't connect.
Yeah. So they were stuck in Chicago, and I was home alone in New York. Yes, I was 30 years old, but still.
Did you stay at the same place that Kevin stayed at in Home Alone 2?
I wish. That would have been better.
Where was that? That was like the something fancy, right?
It was because we were going to be getting on to the TCM cruise. So they put us up where they had everybody, all the other guests. I don't remember the name of it, though.
But I think he was asking where Kevin in Home Alone.
Oh, that too. No idea.
He's at
the Plaza. I know he ran
the Plaza
up in the lobby.
Yeah, it's the Plaza, I think.
Yeah. Well, one, if it's good enough for Eloise.
Yeah. Or maybe that's where Dunstan stayed. So, Jesse, what's the current, so where are you living? Are all the Maltons together in one house?
Oh, we sure are. We have kept Alice and Leonard, my mother, in the house. They're not allowed to see other human beings. We've actually got a pretty sizable bolt on the door. This is the first time I've let you out of your room in what, a month and a half, 2 months?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. But we figured, you know, he just has to deal with it. That's how we have to keep National Treasure safe. But yeah, we're all in the house together, two dogs, me, my husband, my mom, my dad. We're watching a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. My dad and I are trying to work, which is interesting because it's hard to get things done. But yeah, we're here.
It sounds like, you know, a fun place to be honest with you. I think, like, wherever Mark is right now is probably pretty sad.
Well, that's the thing. When the adoption goes through, he can just come into the guest room. It'll be fine.
Oh, perfect.
Exactly. But no, honestly, on a serious note, we feel very lucky that we're together and we make each other laugh and we have a good time. And that's,
yeah. And you're in a house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very lucky. Yeah. And even just have the dogs, honestly.
Dogs
is the best
dogs
thing.
Dogs are the best. Like, dogs are definitely in my top five things I miss because of this.
Yeah. Oh,
because you can't go up to strange dogs anymore.
Oh, I will let you come. I will bring my dogs to you anytime you want.
Oh, I love that.
Hear that? Doug wants to see you.
And let's say hello to the man, the legend himself, star of Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
That's right.
Mr. Leonard Maltin is here.
How do you do, everybody?
How do you do indeed? how many movies do you think you've watched, Leonard, since you got locked in a room by your daughter?
Well, I'm not looking to break any records, but average of one a day, and sometimes more. I want to allow myself time to digest them and make notes, which is my part of my MO. And I was teaching the latter part of my class for USC on Zoom. And
with his 300 some students.
Yeah. The only way we could do is the normal modus operandi is that we convene in the biggest theater on the USC campus, Frank Sinatra Hall, don't you know, at Norris Theater, where you used to sneak in, Doug, many years ago.
Yeah.
And we could no longer convene. So we went to Zoom, but then how are we going to show a movie to everybody? Well, it turns out that all but like six of my many students had Netflix. And Netflix has been very prolific. They've been, unveiling new movies on a pretty regular basis. So we decided that's the way we have to do it, virtually, of course. And then Netflix publicity team, which has been very helpful, set up Zoom interviews for me and the filmmakers. So we did that for the last, I don't know, about 8 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks of class. And, everybody's adjusting. And so I don't have any major complaints. This worked reasonably well. But I'm used to facing an audience.
Yeah.
And like the old joke, I know you're out there, I can hear you breathing. Well, I couldn't hear them breathing. And they could raise their hands virtually. And we take a poll using Zoom on how many people liked the movie, how many didn't, and stuff like that. So, we found ways to make it all sort of work, but it's definitely not an equivalent. It's mm-hmm. a substitute.
Yeah. Well, with the filmmaker there in the Zoom, you would say to all the students, let's vote on whether we liked it or not?
Oh, no. Hell no.
He did the interview separately. He did the filmmaker
Okay.
But that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, hand raising sounds like a lot of work, too. Like, I think it should be like the NFL with coaches' challenges. Like, I think each student should get one hand raised. And if it's a good comment, then they can continue to have a hand raise.
Well, you should be making some of these rules then.
I think you've, Leonard, I think you've probably heard it all when it comes to horrible, weird questions that audience members ask at a Q&A after a movie.
Oh, yeah. Fortunately, not in my class. They're really pretty good. We remind them on the first night of the session of every semester that they're not here for a debating society, that the people who come to class, directors, writers, producers, cinematographers, production designers, costume designers, actors even, they're giving their time to come down and do this, and we're not here to insult them. It doesn't mean they have to ask cream puff questions, but, it's not a matter of challenging them.
Just amazing, though, but even a huge fan of somebody, just their words don't come out right,
Yeah, mm-hmm. but you're referring to some of the screenings around town, especially during award season.
Yeah.
Where,
oh God.
Where people get up and want to make speeches.
They're not questions.
They're not questions.
There's no
at
question
all.
In the question. As a screenwriter myself, I often find it's incredibly important to really focus on those characters. If you're sitting there going, "Please God, shut up."
I've got a question and a comment and a resume and some and some.
And resume is very important.
Have you been to a screening, Doug, where somebody in the back of the hall has said, "Can I have a hug?"
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And my favorite people are the ones that go, nah.
Nah.
But usually they're in a position. They have to say yes, and then the person comes down, they do their stupid hug. Are so
not nice. Anymore. Not after this thing.
Well, that's one problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah, the next time they ask, "Can I have a hug?" the answer should be, "It's in the mail." all right, so thanks again for being here, and let's play some games. Games begin!
Whee!
We're going to start with a new game, you guys.
That's exciting.
Oh, it's so, so exciting. It was suggested by WW Conando. Conando, yeah, WW Conando on Twitter, and he didn't come up with the name. I came up with the name, and I'm so proud of myself. The game is called Witch Hunt, and I'm going to go to you individually, starting with Mark. We'll go alphabetically. we'll start with Mark, and I'll name a movie. And in this game, Witch Hunt, you have to tell me if it features Bonnie Hunt, Helen Hunt, or Linda Hunt.
Yes.
Love it.
Which hunt is it? first of 3 points wins. You ready, Mark?
I am ready, and I hope that they made a movie about Mad About You.
Bonnie, Helen, or Linda... Which one was in the movie Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I can't think of what the movie is off the top of my head. It sounds like a movie where a lot of girls might get into trouble and they need a maternal figure to kind of keep them straight, but have a sense of humor. So I'm going to say Bonnie Hunt is in that movie.
That is incorrect.
Oh,
yeah, exactly, Jesse, because now you have a chance to steal because you only have to choose between two people.
Helen?
Was it Helen or Linda in Girls Just Want to Have Fun based on the Cyndi Lauper song?
Helen? Is it Helen?
What's that?
Is it Helen?
That's your final answer?
Sure.
That is correct.
Oh, thanks, Mark, for going first. Very kind.
I went off board. Helen should have been the starter.
I'm sure that Leonard remembers this movie.
of course I do.
It's Sarah Jessica Parker and Helen Hunt played friends who try to get into a nationally televised dance contest. Nothing?
It's one of your favorites,
nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
Watch nothing. It last.
I'm excited that all three of you were not terribly clear about who was in that movie because I thought that was one easy one. So let's see how this goes.
Doug, sorry, your number one fan has just walked in. Say hello, Alice.
Is there?
Alice just came in. She wants to sit here just because she wants to be near you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I miss Doug.
Who doesn't miss Doug, Mama?
I miss Doug.
I'm sorry. Continue the game.
Continue.
All right. Thank you. Hi, Alice.
Hi.
This is for Leonard. You ready, Leonard?
I don't know. Try me.
Which of those Helens was in the movie Roller Coaster, which you might recall was one of the four movies that was released by Universal with Sensoround?
That's what I remember about that movie, is that it was in Sensoround.
Yeah,
there was for a hunt being in it.
Yeah, there was Earthquake made a lot of sense for Sensoround because every time there's an earthquake scene, the whole theater would just shake.
Yeah.
But then ultimately they gave up on Sensoround when they tried it with Zoot Suit. I swear, I saw Zoot Suit and Sensoround, and whenever they'd like snap their fingers in the dance numbers, the whole place would shake.
You know, whenever we're allowed in movie theaters again, that's what we need. We need some Sensoround.
More Sensoround. Yeah, that movie, there's a war movie called Midway that was in Sensoround.
Oh, yeah.
So which one is it, Daddy?
Which one do you think it is, Leonard?
Linda,
Bonnie, or Helen?
Linda.
Incorrect.
All right.
Back to you, Mark.
Doug, Roller Coaster, because it was in Sensorama, just the title of it sounds like sort of a disaster movie where things go wrong with the roller coaster. And just by the process of elimination, because we already had a Helen Hunt movie, I'm going to say my girl Bonnie's in it.
I got to say, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. It's not your girl Bonnie. Jesse, which one is left?
Helen?
So Helen?
Correct.
So Helen it is?
Helen is correct. Jesse's got 2 points, you guys.
Oh, I'm doing so well, everybody.
You're killing it. Helen plays the daughter. Leonard might find this interesting. It's one of her early film roles. She plays the daughter of George Siegel and, oh, damn it. I had the name and then I lost it. So maybe, yeah, I shouldn't have gotten high before this. Susan Anspach.
Okay.
Yeah, they were Helen Hunt's parents, and George Siegel worked security at a amusement, or no, he was a bomb expert or something, and so a guy was going around putting bombs on roller coasters.
As one does.
It's a really great movie if you want to see a slow, boring movie that takes place almost exclusively in amusement parks.
Richard Widmark and Henry Fonda.
What are you looking shit up?
Yeah, just that one after you finish.
After the fact.
After you finish.
I'm her witness.
I was intrigued.
I know it was after, but it's still like, you know, people on Jeopardy don't get to throw
I'm
in
sorry.
Extra facts
yeah,
later.
Phone's down. I'm sorry. I was intrigued.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a weird ass movie. I watched it a lot when I was a kid, but I think it's mostly I was mostly watching it for the amusement parks, but I also did enjoy George Siegel, the movie actor, when he used to be a leading man.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jesse, okay, we're back to you, Leonard. You ready?
Yep.
This one, I think you might know. Which one was in Peggy Sue Got Married?
That's Helen.
Correct.
Hey! Well done.
Leonard is on the board.
Noticing a trend here. I'm hoping for
quicker. Wiping a bead of sweat off my forehead.
Back to you, Mark. Which one of those Helens is a voice in Monsters University?
That is Bonnie Hunt.
Yes, it is.
You're both correct.
Yeah, my girl.
Why is there a reason you keep referring to her that way?
Look, I have guessed Bonnie Hunt more than anyone else on a trivia show today, and so I am her lead champion. So Bonnie Hunt, this one's for you, and I will see you after the show.
Love it.
I do like her very much. All right. That makes it Jesse's turn.
Yes.
For the win, Jesse, you can win this thing right now. Which one of those Hunts is in Next of Kin?
Linda?
No.
No.
Leonard.
Not wishing to have a lot of dead air here surrounding me.
You're dead air.
Yeah, well, I'll say Helen.
That is correct.
This seems like a Helen-heavy game.
It does, right?
Do you think Doug just checked out Helen Hunt's filmography?
I think so.
And went to town with it?
Didn't bother with anybody else's.
Nah.
Yeah, I think Doug knew I was going to guess Bonnie regardless, and so he threw me a softball.
Your turn again, Mark. Which one of them is in something called Jack? Or is it Jock? I think it's Jock. Jock? Yeah, it's Jock. Jock the Hero Dog.
Oh my gosh, Jock the Hero Dog.
You know, a career can't be all highs. Every once in a while, somebody's going to be in a Jack the Hero Dog.
I think that as much as I want to champion Bonnie again, we've had our share of Helen as well. I'm going to go Linda Hunt was one of the stars of Jock the Hero Dog.
That's incorrect.
Hell no.
I loved you stepping up there for Linda, but I didn't bother with her. All right. at least not. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Jesse.
You know what? Bonnie.
I like the way you play, Jesse.
Thank you.
That's incorrect.
Okay, so the answer is just Helen, apparently.
But Leonard has to say it.
Would it be Helen Hunt?
That is correct. You win the game. Leonard Maltin.
Oh, man. They said putting it on the scoreboard.
In the world. Oh, wow. That was exciting.
So have we all now learned about movies we've never heard of starring Helen Hunt?
I'll tell you something I learned looking at Helen Hunt movies. She is in a trilogy of movies. Like one of the stars of a trilogy that I'm kind of familiar with, but it's called Trancers.
Nope.
There's three of them. There's Trancers 2, Trancers 3. None of those subtitles, just the number. And there's three of them, and I kind of want to figure out what these Trancers movies are all about, because how is it a trilogy, but it's also not, I'm not familiar with it, you know? Like, it was good enough, it did well enough that they made three of them. It's possible
that at least one of those went direct to VHS cassette?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those cases where I think the original Trancers was popular on home video, mm-hmm. and then that spurred making parts 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Did they make it?
I'll take a step further. I think what actually happened is nobody's ever seen any of the Trancers. I think they were just kind of filler at your local Video Update or Blockbuster because they were never actually rented. I remember seeing the jacket for Trancers and always being like, oh, that could be interesting, but then you always find something else. So Trancers, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Poor Trancers.
Trancers.
I wonder if they have all three in stock at that one remaining Blockbuster video store.
In Ohio?
No, it's in
Oregon?
Yeah, it's not Western state.
It's in you guys, you three of you can discuss how you don't know where it is while I'm waiting to tell you exactly where it is. It's in Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's great. It's so much fun to walk around it. I went there a few months back and it just takes you back to walking around a video store to, you know, then eventually, you know, leaving without ever making a selection because it's so hard. All right. Well, Leonard won that game. So that means there's some very exciting in store for Leonard in the next part of our show. But we're going to go away for a second. First, we're going to take a brief commercial message and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're back. That was fast.
Wow.
Yeah, that was easy. Easy to sit through. To determine a winner today, even though there are no prizes, only personal pride, we're going to play Last Person Standing.
Oh, boy.
Yay.
Yeah. The title's been officially overhauled to It's Men, a Man or a Woman. And I changed Stanton to Standing because it's just gotten to a point where new listeners don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, that's a crying shame.
I know, right? But
you could say Last Person Standing in beloved memory of Harry Dean Stanton.
There you go.
But that's kind of long.
That rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that. Or I'll, that's what I'll do is we'll record you saying that, Leonard, and I'll play it right after. I guess we did just record you saying that.
You did, okay. Yes.
So let's see here. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're in great, great shape. So, because I do also want to ask you guys a couple of questions at the end before we go. So to pick a winner, to determine a winner, this we're going to play Last Person Standing. And the advantage that Leonard gets is not only does he get to go first, because he won Witch Hunt, he also gets to name what actor or actress.
Oh, goodness.
I know. The pressure's on. You got to come up with somebody who you think you know a lot of their titles, and even better, somebody who you think the rest of us might not be as well-versed on.
I dare him to pick Bonnie Hunt.
I don't want to go. I don't want
cheaper by the dozen one. Cheaper by the dozen two.
I don't want to go obscure on you guys by going backwards in time. Why don't I just say Michael Caine?
Oh, I love it. That's a great one. That's perfect.
Who has a long biography?
Do you do a Michael Caine impression, Mark?
Michael Caine.
Nailed it.
Michael Caine's perfect person to do an impression of because if you nail it, it's cool. But also, if you do it badly, it's also somehow funny. My name is Michael Caine. All right, so
a bonus point if they can tell me what quote, what Michael Caine movie this is. Oh, the breath on that thing.
Jaws the Revenge?
I was going to wait until it came up, but yes, it is, in fact, Jaws the Revenge.
For reals?
Yes, that was going to be the first movie I said anyway, so it all I did is hurt myself.
But I was like, I was guessing that like as a dumb guess. I didn't even think that would be the answer.
Yeah, he almost dies. He plays a character named Hoagie, and he's hitting on Ellen Brody because obviously her husband, Chief Brody, died of a heart attack because he was so scared of the shark. Even though he survived two movies, he was so scared of the shark that he died off screen. And so he's romancing her in the Bahamas, but the shark with the ESP almost eats Hoagie, but he survives. And as he's being pulled back onto the boat, he mentions how bad the breath of the shark is.
Well, then.
I don't even know if I can continue after that. That is something. I mean, I, to this day, what is it? May something? I can't wrap my head around the fact that the first time, when Michael Caine won the Oscar for Hannah and Her Sisters, he couldn't be there. He couldn't be at the Oscars because he was stuck in the Bahamas making Jaws the Revenge.
I mean, as excuses go.
At least he was working, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Leonard's going to go first. Name a Michael Caine movie.
Alfie.
Oh, that's a really good one. What'd you think of the remake with Jude Law?
It was okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought, well, they had good source material, so they were able to make an okay movie out of it.
Yeah.
All right, Mark Ellis.
Speaking of remakes, I'm going to say Get Carter.
Oh, That's interesting.
Another one that should have left alone.
Agreed.
Well, that's one thing. Boy, Michael Caine doesn't have a problem with saying yes to remakes and sequels.
Mm-mm.
So I'll just say it. Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse?
Cider House Rules.
It really is the best of all the cider houses.
It's true. It's true. Cider really house rules. Cool.
It rules so hard. Back to you, Leonard.
Zulu.
Oh my God. That's a great one. I'm gonna save that one for a little later, Leonard.
Well, it was on my mind because I at the TCM Film Festival several years ago, when there still was an in-person actual TCM Classic Film Festival, I got to see Zulu on the big screen at the Egyptian Theater. And it's a hell of a movie. And it's great to see that way. So it's still rattling around my memory.
Love it. Mark?
Going back to Batman, Doug, The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll just go ahead and seal this one up and say The Dark Knight Rises. Jesse?
The Prestige.
Oh, yeah. Leonard, do you remember having a favorite between The Prestige and The Illusionist?
Neither?
Yeah, I would say none of the above.
Yeah, they both aren't great, but it was just funny that there were two big starring vehicles for big actors that were both just about, you know, silly magicians. Many years later, they'd perfect the genre with Now You Can See Me.
Is that your next movie?
I just fucked up by saying that, didn't I?
That was mine. That was going to be my next one.
All right, go ahead and say it.
Now You See Me.
Wait, was it your turn?
No.
It's Leonard's turn. What do you want to go with, Leonard?
Hannah and Her Sisters.
There you go.
Oh, nice. Also previously mentioned. Mark?
I'll go with The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Ah, right.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so I'm going to go with, I'm tempted to steal Jesse's, but I'll let you have yours, Jesse.
No, you take that one. I'll allow it.
That's okay. There's so many to choose from. You know, there's a lot of finger pointing about this pandemic, but you know what I say? I say blame it on Rio.
Hey.
Not really. It's just the name of a Michael Caine movie. Jesse. Okay, Jesse, say it.
Now You See Me.
Is that what it's called?
Isn't it?
I don't know. I got so confused because the first one's called Now You See Me, but then they didn't call the second one Now You Don't. They just called it Now You See Me Too or something.
Now You See Me. Now You Still See Me.
Now You Keep On Seeing Me.
Keep on keeping on seeing me.
You keep recognizing me as something that's in your eye line.
Accurate.
Okay. Back to you, Leonard.
Sleuth.
Okay, now here's a really fun one. Because I can say to you now, what year?
Mm. Oh gosh, was it 1972?
Which one?
Ooh. The one with Michael Caine and Laurence Olivier.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that sounds about right, 72.
Even if it's wrong, it sounds accurate.
Yeah, I don't care about the exact year, I just wanted to establish something. Mark?
Yes, the first filming of that play.
I will go ahead and say that I'm already running on fumes.
Uh-oh.
I do recall 1987, I want to say, the classic, another movie that should not have been touched, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah, that movie should be left alone for sure. The girl in that, Glenn Headley?
Yeah.
Passed away rather young, you know, kind of young, like in the last couple of years, right?
It's recent, and I think it's the saddest thing because she was, I mean, I think anybody around my age, she was in so much and so wonderful.
Yeah, she's great. I will say, I don't know the year, but they made Sleuth again with Michael Caine. And instead of Laurence Olivier, it was Jude Law. Back to you, Jesse.
Dunkirk.
He's in that?
Yeah.
Sounds right. Jesse?
Yeah, I read it the other
I mean, Leonard? I get you too confused.
Children of Men?
Yes. Mm. I like you, that movie
I want. I want to add to almost all of these titles, and he's so good in that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's, that's the thing, is he brought, you know, gravity and, you know, good performances to some of the most amazingly bad movies. Like, he's never bad, but boy, he's in some stinky movies.
What he went through a patch around the time of that Jaws movie where he was saying yes to movies that some people, or a lot of people, felt he should have turned down. And he said, hey, you know, my only responsibility is to give a good performance. And, you know, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... He just, you know, is one of the first actors I hear accurately describe acting in movies as, you know, they pay you to sit around and wait, and then the acting part is the acting's the fun part.
It's true.
Okay, Mark?
I think that he does show up in Interstellar for a bit.
Yes.
We've got confirmation from Jesse, because I certainly don't remember whether or not he was in that one. Yeah, I think he was. All right. Jesse said he was, so he is. but speaking of the crappy movies, from now on, I'm only going to name Michael Caine movies that are terrible, if I can.
Okay.
And I'd like to start with Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
The Kingsman, is he in both? I mean, he's in one of them. I can't remember which one.
so we just say The Kingsman and leave it at that? I think he's in both of them.
I'll say
they each have a different subtitle. Do you remember the subtitle in either of them?
The second one is like, and now Channing Tatum.
That's not true.
That's, I wish it was. It's not. I don't. The King. Again,
is that something you ever remember happening, Leonard? The star of the movie's name being in the title of the movie?
Oh yeah, being John Malkovich.
He's not even the main character though.
Abbott Costello Meet the Killer, Boris Karloff.
Hey.
Oh yeah. See, I knew you'd come up with something.
He would.
Yeah. I think it was called The Golden Circle, the second one, and the first one was...
On His Majesty's Secret Service or something?
Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Something like that, yeah.
I thought the second one was more of the same.
Ooh. Did you think the second one?
No.
It wasn't... I thought the first one was an absolute delight, and then the second one I found extremely frustrating. It's just an example of, you know, just because it's the same creative team, it doesn't mean there's more story to tell.
I really don't like it in any film where they just keep using the F word over and over, and to a degree where it's like, so we're just not going to even write a script. We're just going to keep saying fuck to each other, and somehow that's going to be, okay, great.
Yeah, it is a easy go-to. And then, you know, I also blame the actors, because I bet you they ad-lib extra F-bombs that aren't necessary.
Sure.
Because it just, you know what I mean? Like, anytime actors are having, like, what's supposed to be a tough conversation, they probably just pepper it with F-bombs just to sound like they're being tough, you know?
F-bombs!
Leonard?
Leonard?
I'm remembering an obscure and not very good movie called The Magus.
The Magus?
M-A-G-U-S.
Yeah, I love it.
Was it Candace Bergen in that? I mean, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I bet you she was.
Sounds like something she'd do.
Yeah, I mean, I think Magus in English is Murphy Brown.
Yep.
Mark?
Oh boy. All right, I think I survived one more round because a movie that some might consider maybe not the best, but I found it fully delightful when I saw it as a youth, and that would be a movie I rented instead of Trancers, Mr. Destiny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think that movie is good.
John Lovitz, Jim Belushi, Rene Russo, I think.
Yeah, you just made it worse. I know, they're all good actors, but that was definitely of its time. Jim Belushi somehow got 4 or 5 starring roles in a row, and it was a swing and a miss every time. I'm going to say, oh yeah, another classic disaster movie that, Michael Caine laughed all the way to the bank. The Swarm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The Swarm. Very early on in The Swarm, one of the most classic lines of all time. A helicopter gets taken down by a swarm of bees, which, okay. But when the bees hit his windshield, there's a couple hundred of them, and he goes, bees, bees, millions of bees.
Is that what he got the Oscar for?
And then his helicopter crash. No, that wasn't Michael Caine. He didn't say that. Damn, if Michael Caine said it, it'd be like, bees, bees, millions of bees.
I remember seeing him on the Merv Griffin Show where they devoted an entire episode to the movie The Swarm. And he said the reason that he did it was so they could work with Henry Fonda and Richard Widmark, who were on the show with it.
Wow. I mean, that's cool that they got to, like, they probably, like, play bridge every day on the set or something.
Something like that.
Passing by the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're back to you, Jesse.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, my God.
Which is actually a delightful film.
What about Sherlock Gnomes?
I think that one was pretty cute, too.
That one had Elton John music in it, I think, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark?
Oh, boy.
Are we at the end of the road?
We might be at the end of the road. I'm rooting for him to have been struck by something strange and de-aging along with Wilford Brimley in Cocoon.
No, he wasn't in Cocoon.
Damn it.
He was a bit of too scrapping at that point. He didn't look old yet.
He was in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for playing, Mark. But do please stick around for more storytelling. It's my turn.
Yes.
All right. Oh, you know what? I gotta apologize. I can't think of another crappy one right offhand, but I thought of a great one. The Man Who Would Be King.
Oh gosh,
good,
yes.
One.
At the New Beverly. That was at the New Beverly recently, and I really wanted to go, and I didn't for some reason. Now I, of course, really wish I had.
This is the last one I've got, Bewitched.
Okay.
Bewitched is the last one for me.
Oh, Bewitched?
Yes.
Yeesh.
I know. You said bad movies, so.
Which witch did he play?
I feel like he was with whoever they had playing the
Andorra.
Yeah, the Andorra character. Like he was with her, but I don't.
Oh, Uncle Arthur, maybe.
It's something like that. I just remember his voice.
Yeah, I know that one of the wacky witches that she's related to in the movie was, I think, was Steve Carell.
Yeah, gosh, it's all a blur because
anyway, why it was bad. I get. That movie and that Stepford Wives remake, those two movies are just a big blur of awful to me that I can't think of.
Yeah. And I only remember Bewitched because I watched it on a plane. That tells you how little there was on the plane. I watched it on a plane. That also tells you how many months ago it was because planes still existed. But,
All right, so we're back to Leonard.
Inception.
Oh man, you are good.
Yeah, kicking myself for that one. I should have just guessed Nolan movies. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
my dad hosted the ceremony for Michael Caine getting his hands and footprint at Grauman's.
Oh, I thought there was going to be more to the story.
That was the whole thing, man. That was it. He's done four of them now? Three or four.
But that was a pleasure. He's a delightful man to talk to. I've had several nice interviews with him. And he's what you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah. Is he like, when he sees you, he knows who you are?
I think by now, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that is so cool. Hey, Leonard. And I'm also just sitting here trying to think of something else. And
two.
There's so many more.
Yes, so many. This whole decade's worth of film.
Oh, yeah. He's just so prolific, and my brain is just frying at this point from trying to think of all of them. You have another one, Leonard?
No, he's done a couple of small films in recent years. You know, little indie British films that I've seen and now can't remember.
Yeah, I just remembered one that he was just in recently that got kind of a mixed reception.
Oh, whoa. I got a big one. Educating Rita.
Oh, very big. Yeah, the press is calling on this one.
Exactly.
That's Rita.
Yeah,
That's
I was going to say that wasn't there a movie that just came out in the last couple of years called Truth?
Sure.
Or Trust, like Jane Fonda was in it and Michael Caine.
I pulled a Jesse Malden, and after I got knocked out, I went on his IMDb. I don't see anything with Trust in
just
it.
A one word title from like the last two or three years.
I do see he's already been announced in Now You See Me 3, if that helps.
Hey. Oh.
All right. So that's what. Hello?
Yeah, we're all here. There?
Okay, good. I thought I accidentally hung up on you guys. What else is there that's surprising to you, Mark?
Is it youth? Is that what you're thinking of, maybe? Youth?
Yeah, youth.
Youth.
You know, Trust, Youth, same thing. Youth.
It's him and Harvey Keitel and Rachel Weisz and Jane Fonda.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Did you see it, Leonard?
I don't recall.
Yeah.
It got like, you know, it had like awards buzz, you know, like I think somebody in it got a supporting nod somewhere, like at the Golden Globes or something.
Oh, it's
anyway.
There's one on here that really upset me that I forgot it. And then there's another one that I should have known. But other than that, I mean, it's a lot of movies, but there's just a couple that I'm like kicking myself about.
What are those?
Austin Powers and Goldmember.
Right.
And if you want bad movies, Doug, and you want hilarious villain turns, then you need to see the Steven Seagal classic On Deadly Ground, where Michael Caine was like the greedy oil guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Secondhand Lions. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
With Robert Duvall, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's in Miss Congeniality. I'm embarrassed that I forgot. Because
yeah, I'm sure he's in both of them. He gives her the assignment, right?
He plays her coach. He plays the person who gets her ready for the pageants.
Oh, boy. Well, you're our winner, Leonard. You did it.
I don't know how. I think just living a long life, that may have something to do.
There you go.
Right, but just, you know, also that shows how great Michael Caine is. He's got so many, you know, titles yet that we can all actually remember.
Yeah.
Do you...
He's made enough that we can even forget some.
Yeah, absolutely. We forgot a lot of them. Do you, Leonard, have a like a number one recommendation from movies you've been watching over the last week or so?
Well, we've been posting on my website, leonardmaltin.com, if you were wondering, a Maltin Movie Club choice every week or so. And these are all films that I like a lot and that tend to be on the upbeat side.
Also have to be streamable. That was the main criteria.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in saying, this is a great film. You can't watch it, but it's great.
And the last one we posted, I guess, was The Meddler.
Mm-hmm. And then
with Susan Sarandon and Rose Byrne. Jane Scafaria, the woman who did Hustlers.
Yeah.
And this is a good movie that sort of just fell through the cracks. And a good movie, sort of a comedy drama, and strong performances. And also Stephen Chbosky's Wonder, which is a lovely film.
Oh, yeah.
And with Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson and young Jacob Tremblay.
And your next, the one that'll go up, that I'll put up tomorrow, is My Life as a Zucchini.
A terrific animated film.
It was an Oscar nominee a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's French, but then was also dubbed in English, and they released them separately.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of what else you've watched.
Lucky, Harry Dean Stanton film, Lucky, which I'm just crazy about.
Yeah, directed by the actor John Carroll Lynch, right?
That's right.
That's right. And it was cast. It was written by Harry Dean's longtime assistant, or co-written by his longtime assistant, and they cast it out of Harry Dean's Rolodex, so to speak. It's all cronies and pals of his.
Yeah.
And there's a fantastic monologue in it delivered by David Lynch.
Yeah, that's right.
He's terrific.
I'm trying to get Lynch to do this show because I figure, you know, what else he got to do in quarantine?
That's right.
I want you to have Werner Herzog on with Paul F. Tompkins. That's the dream.
Yeah, okay. I'll try to make that happen. Mark Ellis, do you have anything to recommend people watch right now?
Yeah, Doug. Well, first of all, I also have a dad who's a big movie buff, and his website is leonardmaltin.com. Everybody can go check out what my dad does. And for me, I've been watching mostly, I'm like watching The Sopranos right now because I've never seen it. So I'm doing a little more TV than movies. But I did recently watch, speaking of fathers, Onward, the Pixar movie, which I hadn't caught yet. And it's really, really good. It's like a very feel-goody, but you're also going to get emotional kind of Pixar movie. So highly recommend it.
Yes, I echo that.
I love you, Dad.
All right, well, that's very, very – I'm glad that, you know, we have a lot of suggestions, things for people to check out. Any could you – Mark, and then also Jesse and Leonard and Alice, could you take photos, selfies in your, you know, current environment that you're at doing this podcast that you could send to me? And then I will, create a little collage of all of us for the to advertise the show.
Done and done.
Absolutely do that. And
it's way to you, Doug.
If the folks run out of movies and TV shows to stream, my special Dog Stepfather is now available on Amazon Prime to watch. So everybody can go check that out.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
That's so cool. We've been starting to, since my dad and I have been doing a lot of the podcast, just as the two of us here at home, we started filming them and are starting to put them up on YouTube. And we just started a series about animation, where we're sort of going to do a deep dive with a couple of different folks and getting into the books my dad's written and stuff like that. It's, you know, you keep trying to come up with ways to do something that is fun for you, but also a nice distraction for everybody else. Because it is so crazy.
Yeah. It's the perfect way to go. You know, that's what everybody needs to do right now is, you know, do what makes you happy and hopefully it makes others happy as well. And then, everybody's at least as happy as we can be, considering.
Yeah.
Don't forget, everybody, that there's a Doug Loves Movies Twitter account now, so just go to @DougLovesMovies if you want to assert yourself as a true fan of the show. And yeah, I can't thank you all enough for being here. And we will hopefully see you in person again soon.
Damn straight.
Looking forward to it.
As always, roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky.